Welcome to Calvary Church. We hope you enjoy our latest message. For more information, you can check us out at calvarysimcoe.com or you can visit us on Facebook or Instagram.
Well, I'm glad that you're here. So turn to 2 Chronicles 16, 7 to 9. I always love it when the Lord kind of sets up the message beforehand. We had a wonderful gathering at 9 o'clock. There wasn't as many people, but there was a powerful sense of worship. And I feel like we just kind of jumped in on that this morning and gave to the Lord's what he was worthy of. So 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7 to 9. Let me give you the background really quick. Let me back up even more. The nation of Israel has had a civil war. The top 10 tribes of Israel split from the lower two tribes that were known as Judah. So in the north, in the Old Testament, after the split, whenever you read Israel, that's the top 10 tribes. If you read Judah, that's the bottom two tribes. Historically, Judah remained walking with the Lord for a longer period of time than Israel did. Israel very quickly turned to idols, and they actually mixed pagan, immoral idol worship of Baal, which included children sacrifice, temple prostitutes. They actually mixed it with worship to Yahweh. And so God judged the nation for that. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, the northern 10 tribes have besieged and blocked off passageway to the lower two tribes, and they've declared war on them. So King Asa of Judah calls the Arameans and the king of Aram, and he says, "I will give you silver and gold if you will turn against the king of Israel and his armies." And that's what happened. Basically, he hired them as mercenaries. And so the plan worked. Israel stopped their siege. They went back to Jericho, back to their country, and there was peace in Judah. So the plan worked. It was a very strategic plan. And as a king, it seemed to go well. But then we pick up in verse 7. At that time, the seer, they called prophets seers at this time in their history. At that time, the prophet Hanani came to King Asa of Judah and said to him, "Because you depended on the king of Aram, you have not depended on the Lord your God. The army of the king of Aram has escaped from you. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a vast army with many chariots and horsemen? When you depended on the Lord, he handed them over to you." Verse 9, this is our key verse. "For the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to him. You have been foolish in this matter. Therefore, you will have wars from now on." I've been meditating on that passage of scripture. And I asked the question, for all intents and purposes, it was a win. King Aram brought a win for his people. He strategized. He went into his treasury. He hired these mercenaries, and the mercenaries took care of his enemies for, and there was peace. The siege was lifted, and there was peace. Except God knew that he had something greater and something better. The Lord knew that not only did he want to deal with the northern 10 tribes, he wanted to deal with the nation of Aram that had been a constant thorn in Israel's side. And I had this thought this week. How many victories do we miss out on because prayer is a last resort? How many times do we settle for what we can accomplish in our own strength, with our own ingenuity, and with our own understanding? And for all intents and purposes, it looks good. It's a win. But the Lord says, there's so much more that I had for you. We love that verse, and I love that verse. He can do exceedingly, come on, say it with me, exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. How many times have I missed out on the exceedingly abundantly more because I failed to ask the Lord? I love this passage of scripture in 2 Chronicles. I told the first group of gathered people how I was in a season of my life in our last congregation. Jackie worked at left for work at 7:30 in the morning. She worked secularly. She worked in finances and things like that. And so she would head into Sarnia. We were a bedroom community to Sarnia. She would head in at 7:30, and I would head to the church cafe, We had our whole lobby was a cafe with tables and cafe and espresso. It was so good. How many know that I just feel the Lord on that right now? And I would go put the coffee on, and probably by 20 to 8, I was sitting at my usual table with the big window that looked outside, and I would have my coffee and my Bible open until about 9 or 9:30 in the morning. Every day I spent that time with the Lord. But it was like I was walking into an appointment and the Lord was already there. Have you ever experienced those seasons? I would sit down, open up the Word, and it was, I could have, and with total respect and reverence said, "Ah, Jesus, you're here." You know, when you go to Tim Hortons or even better, Starbucks, and you're meeting a friend and they're already at the table and they've already have their coffee and they've already bought you a coffee, that's a good friend, right? And you walk into that appointment and they're there and the fellowship is sweet. That's what it was like. When I moved here, it's taken me years because I'm a spatial person. I need to have a space that I can designate, a place that's being declared holy that I can sit. And I found it. And in the last little while, I've been in that season again where when I get up at about 6:20 in the morning and I sit down and the Lord's there waiting for me. That's the picture that I see in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. You see, I'm grateful for verses that say that we can enter into his gates. I'm grateful that we should rejoice in the open door and the invitation to come before the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. I'm thankful that I can come through Jesus, who's made the way for me to come to the mercy seat and ask for grace in my time of need, right? Hebrews 4:16 says, I can come boldly. I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful for that. But 2 Chronicles tells me something else about God. 2 Chronicles 16 tells me, for the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, seeking out those whose hearts are fully committed to him, that he may show himself strong on their behalf. As I've been meditating on this passage of scripture over the last number of days in the last week, I've had this new awareness. How many of you know there's times that prayer is hard work? It's our minds wander, we don't necessarily feel his presence, but we steward that because we know. I've been camping out again in Psalm chapter 5, and Psalm chapter 5 says, early in the morning you hear my voice, and I've been declaring that, early in the morning you hear my voice, early in the morning you hear my groans, I will wait expectantly on you, Lord. So I pray that in faith, but there's those seasons, and I'm entering into one that this last week again, where it's like when I come, the Lord says, I've been waiting. My eyes have been searching, my eyes have been roaming, waiting for someone like you who will come and meet with me. And for me, that adds such a perspective to my prayer. The Lord is looking for the opportunity. Have you ever thought of that? We see the open door. We see the grace that allows us to come as our opportunity to come before the Lord. But 2 Chronicles tells me God, Yahweh, the King of the universe, is looking for an opportunity to come alongside you and I. How does that change the shape of your prayers? God is looking for those whom he may strongly support. He's looking for ways to put his goodness, his faithfulness on display. He's looking to come alongside our weakness. So often, aren't we? We're apologetic. We kind of come to the Lord with our hand in our hat and say, oh God, it's me again, and I'm weak. And he is looking for people. The Bible says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Many times over my life, the Lord has shown me that there's a root of pride in my life. And do you know what the root of pride is? It's not in comparison myself to you. Because usually I feel like I don't stack up. The root of pride comes when I just start to do things and I forget to inquire and seek the Lord. Because we can say all we want. We believe in prayer. We're dependent on the Lord. But if I'm not praying, it's a root of pride that says, I've got this. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro, seeking those whose hearts are fully devoted to him so that he can show himself strong on their behalf. You don't ever have to apologize for coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, it's me again, and I'm in a place of need, I'm in a place of weakness, because the Lord is looking for those. That's why Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those. Why? Because it brings, the Lord comes alongside us. It's interesting that when the prophet came, the king ends up throwing the prophet. He doesn't like what he says, and he throws him in jail. Read on in 2 Chronicles, it said the king did not like the word that he brought, so he threw him in jail. I believe the king thought he was going to get a pat on the back from the Lord. And yet, listen to the language. The prophet says, the eyes of the Lord are searching for somebody that he could show himself strong to. You have been foolish. You've been foolish. You've missed out on an incredible opportunity to get God involved in your life and your circumstances. You missed out. You were foolish. Jesus, in Matthew 6:8, speaking of the Father, declared, your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. Well then, Jay, why do we have to ask? We have to ask because God does everything in answer to prayer. I think the most concise picture, as it were, of prayer in the entire scripture. The picture that sums up what prayer is meant to be. There's different aspects of prayer. There's decreeing and declaring. There's coming against strongholds. There's Jesus said, you know, give us this day. Meet our needs today, Lord. Keep us from the evil one. There's all kinds of prayers. Cast your cares on him. I'm thankful that God cares about every aspect of our lives. But the clearest picture of prayer, I believe, and the purpose of prayer in the entire scripture is found in Genesis in one little statement. And they walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. That's prayer. Prayer is walking with the Lord. How many of you know that you can be with someone and never have a conversation? There's a lot of talking going on, but you're not having a conversation because they're doing all the talking. Do you have a friend like that? Are you married to someone like that? I won't look anywhere. There's a lot of talking going on, but it's all one-sided. And they walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. Prayer is first and foremost fellowship. Having a conversation. And I am still learning. You know, I'm in my 50s. I've been serving the Lord for a long time. I'm still learning what it means to sit and to just wait in his presence and let him speak to me. And I'm going to say this again. Sometimes when we need him, we're trying to find and access the Holy Spirit. If you can't find the presence of the Holy Spirit, you'll always find the Holy Spirit in the pages of the Holy Scriptures. Start to read the Word, and you'll start to hear the voice of the Lord. So prayer is first and foremost fellowship. And that's what God has always been looking for. Fellowship. To come alongside his sons and daughters and show himself strong. Now, God doesn't have a need to boast like we do, right, and take the credit. But again, the language is that the Lord is looking for people that he can come alongside and show himself strong on behalf of. I believe it delights the Lord and it honors the Lord that when sick people come, we lay hands on them and we pray and we say, show yourself to be strong, O God, and heal. It honors the Lord. It honors the Lord when we have a need in our lives and we proclaim his provision. When Jackie and I were first married and pastoring a church very near here, I was making $14,000 full-time, and it was very clear, full-time, which you can't really do anymore legally, but that's what they did. And Jackie was working and waitressing. And I can remember we were talking about this recently. There were times that we just literally, we were good stewards. We tithed. Our tithe was the first thing that came off the top, that 10% back to the Lord, always, without fail. And I can remember there'd be times we would take that 10% off the top and it meant that one of two bills couldn't be paid. But we always took it off the top. You know why? Because then it gave us the ability to pray, Lord, this is in your hand. This is now your problem. this is yours. And we would pray. And do you know that we never didn't pay a bill? Come on, more than three people need to say amen to that. We always, always, God always came through, sometimes miraculously and creatively, but he always came through. And we were laughing because we would lay in bed and we would read scripture. The scriptures that spoke about that when we honor the Lord with our first fruits, he will make sure that our vats are full and that he will take care of everything. We would read those scriptures. We would pray. We would say, Lord, we need you in this. You actually want to show yourself. You're watching over your word and you want to show yourself strong on our behalf, oh God. We would pray prayers like that and say, you've been waiting for this opportunity to show to us once again that you are our provider and you're the one that cares for us. And I would roll over in faith and go to sleep. And my wife would be up for hours after just going, oh, I don't know how he sleeps when we've got these. And we were laughing about that. Do you know something? It honors the Lord when we come before him like that because he's been looking for the opportunity to show himself strong on our behalf. Are you tracking with me this morning? We're just going to wrap up. And Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not his benefits, who forgives all of our sins, heals all of our diseases. Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 105, let's turn there and we'll close there. I've been reading through the Psalms, but I keep going back to Psalm 5 at least once a day. Listen to my words. I've already referenced this. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my sighing. Pay attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for I pray to you. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I plead my case to you and watch expectantly. Say that with me, watch expectantly. I think it honors the Lord when we pray. And first of all, we stop to listen. Because Jesus said that God knows how many hairs on our head are numbered. And I don't know why he wants to know that detail. Theologically, he's omniscient. He knows everything. That's what that word omniscient, he knows everything. So he knows exactly how many hairs are on every head of every 7 billion people on planet Earth because he's God. That's how big our God is. But I think it's more than that. I think he knows the detail of how many hairs on our head because he cares that much about us to know that. And as I've said before, as I get older, he's got to stop counting them just on my head because they're going from here down my back. So he can figure all that math out if he wants. He cares that much about me. He cares to know every morning what my hair count is. And Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows what you need before you even ask him. And faith is, yes, speaking to the mountains and the mountains moving, but faith is also going, God, you care for me that deeply, and I trust you not just for the mountain to be removed, but I trust you with your timing and how you're going to move it. I trust you because you care for me. And Lord, you are looking for ways to answer my prayers. So every time I pray, you are answering because you've been seeking me out. You've been waiting for me to come. You've been looking for the opportunity that you can bring a testimony in my life of how good and how powerful and how strong you are. You've been waiting for the people of Calvary Church to come and bring these needs before you. Prayer is a first resort. Prayer is a first resort. I'm often involved in situations where I feel like I'm in way over my head. I've been in the ministry going on, is it 32, 33 years this coming May? And I would have thought it was easier by now. I'm going to tell you something. I feel like I know less now than I did when I was 23 years old starting out. And I am always, there's always prayers being lifted up silently under my breath. Oh, Jesus, speak to me in this moment. Oh, Jesus, give me a well-inclined ear that I may be able to speak something that will bring strength and encourage the weary. I'm constantly praying to the Lord. Prayer is a first resort. Sometimes for my own life, I do what the king did. I just rush ahead and make a decision and it looks good. And I wonder, how many times have I missed out on settled for good when God had better? And he's waiting for you. He's waiting for me. His eyes are looking right now. And there's a whole lot of churches gathering in Norfolk County this morning. And all of those churches will have some form of prayer. I know for my part, when the Lord's eyes roam to and fro throughout Norfolk County, I always want him to be able to stop over Calvary Church and go, there is someone whose heart is set aside and set apart for me, and they're asking and they're seeking me and they're crying out to me, and I want to show myself strong on their behalf. May every time this church is open, may God find somebody like the woman with the issue of blood, or somebody like Bartimaeus who were able to. There was all kinds of people around Jesus those days, but God the Father was looking for people in the midst of those crowds, and most of those people remained unchanged. But those two people, that woman with the issue of blood and Bartimaeus, were able to get the attention of Jesus and see power flow. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, seeking those whose hearts are fully his, that he may show himself strong. So when you wake up tomorrow and you go to prayer, you say, Lord, your eyes have been roaming throughout my street. Your eyes have been roaming throughout my family, throughout Norfolk County. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Show yourself strong to me today. Show yourself mighty. Show yourself to be the healer, the deliverer, the provider. And God, until it comes to pass, you're going to strengthen me, and I'm going to trust you. Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. So what we're going to do is we're going to make prayer available for those who want prayer. And I know that it's easy to lose momentum in this setting, but is the prayer room in the commons or the fireside? Does anyone know? I think it's the commons. So for those of you, I know we already had prayer, but for those of you that God is stirring your heart and the Lord is saying, my eyes are upon you right now. There was a sense of that in this morning's service, that the Lord's eyes were stopping on people and their circumstances, and the Lord was saying, I'm here and I'm going to show myself strong. If you leave and go down the hallway back to the front doors, when you get to the kind of first intersection where Pastor Jackie has the registration, turn right and then turn right again. There's a room there. There's going to be people waiting to spend time to pray with you, okay? So we want to do that. Listen, you don't lose any momentum by leaving this building. The Lord is here. Amen? Can we all just lift our hands? Thank you for this gathered group of people. And Lord, whether people stay for prayer or whether they help us stack chairs or whether they just need to leave, Lord, and go home, I pray in Jesus' name that our posture of prayer this week will shift if it needs to be shift, and we would realize that there's divine appointments waiting for us. You're waiting for us, Lord, as it were, just to come and recognize that you're already there waiting because your eyes have been seeking out that moment, that opportunity to come alongside us. So I pray for those that need you. We all need you, but I pray for those who have a specific need. There is something that they're contending for right now. Jesus, put your power and your glory and your shed blood and the stripes that you took on your back. Jesus, magnify your name, because we know it is the name that has been given all authority in heaven and earth. So I pray you would show yourself strong, Jesus. Over every sickness, over every circumstance, over every need and provision, show the name of Jesus to be stronger this week. And I believe we're going to come back next week, and the front of this church is going to be lined with people with testimonies of how they walked into divine appointments and you showed yourself strong. So we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you are blessed and encouraged by the message today.